Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's the Dark Mark Show, the fifth anniversary. That's why I'm sitting in a suit sweating, and it smells like formaldehyde in here, here at the Ruby Studios. But thanks for listening on Renegade Radio. And right next to me is my co-host, Hannah.
Back from the dead after 2 weeks.
Yes, you're back from 2 weeks. And boy, do we have a great show. We have Diane Franklin. That's part of the reason I'm sweating. I'm
Bonjour.
Like,
yeah. She is beautiful.
Yes, she is beautiful. And she doesn't age a day. Thank We're going to talk you. About her. You know her from Better Off Dead, Last American Virgin. Some people know her from Amityville Horror 2, Terror Vision, Freddy's Nightmares, all sorts of stuff. We're going to talk about her wonderful career, where she is now. And she's just the nicest person, isn't she?
Really Hannah? Is. Yes, yes.
But before, we also have the guest we had on our very first show 5 years
very
ago.
First show.
Oh, my gosh.
And we haven't had him on since. But that's more of a scheduling thing than anything else. I've asked you on a couple times.
I'm busy.
Master magician Michael Vile. And
Yay.
For everybody watching on YouTube, he's going to do a little trick for you right now. Diane's going to light.
I'm the lovely assistant.
Yes.
And.
Yes.
And we're in this tiny little studio.
Yeah, we're in about a 6x6 studio with wood all over the walls.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Now he just put fire on his pants.
Oh, my gosh.
He's twirling the fire around.
This is nuts.
Yes. It's not an anniversary show without fire or sparks or something like that. Yes.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Let's All right.
I haven't done a great big fire. Okay, my gosh.
Yes. For people listening on Renegade Radio, he is now eating fire. Oh, what happened there?
Wow.
Yes.
More gas.
Yes. Here we go. He's now he's,
oh my gosh.
He's eating it. the flames are above his mouth. He just lit the other thing
there?
With the flames.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Oh, yes.
I've never seen anybody eat fire before.
Really?
Whoa.
Oh,
yeah,
you
no, got to
hang out with us.
Right.
Yeah, look, he's eating fire. Look, he's wow. blowing it out and lighting the other torch.
This
look at
is
that.
Amazing. Wow. Yeah. I would be so nervous that my hair would go on fire.
Yes. Well, with your if I had your hair, I would be too.
Right. Or my beard.
I'm not a fire spinner when it comes down to it, though.
Yes.
I but should put this on here.
It was lovely being your assistant. I really have to say I enjoyed that.
Is that the first time you were in a magician's assistant?
Yes, it was. It was. Really? Now I can put that on my resume, right?
Well, let me
do one more trick for you.
Okay, cool. I like it.
Here, close your eyes.
Okay.
Are we going to be able to see this okay?
I think so.
Right
you want, yeah.
Now you can open your eyes.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love you.
Mr. B.
I love you. Hello, baby.
You have to see the smile on our producer Trevor's face. He is amazed.
Yeah.
And by the way,
this is the best trick ever been. Oh, my gosh.
Look at that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were we expecting card tricks?
Wait.
It comes later.
Hold on. You didn't even warn me. I got to get my camera out for this.
I need a picture. Oh, my gosh.
Diane Franklin with a dove. See?
And it's such a nice dove.
Oh, yes.
Although I will tell you that I performed a show with Michael Vile over the weekend on Friday, which turned out very well. The dove was on the microphone while there was a band playing. Oh, yeah, that's going to go viral on the internet.
Wow.
I am in love, okay, with this dove. Bonjour, dove. How are you? I am Monique. Bonjour.
But anyway, they had a band playing. You put the dove on a microphone stand.
Yeah.
The dove was swaying to the music. It was dancing to the music.
Clapping.
And then the performers afterwards noticed that the dove relieved himself on stage. But
what doves do.
That's what doves do. So
I'm prepared for this dove. I have animal experience.
Yes. You're very gentle dove. With that dove. Look at that. Petting that dove.
You're a good dove.
While you're petting the dove, let me go into our sponsors real quick, Hannah, because... Mm-hmm. We're being sponsored, and by the way, I want to thank all the sponsors that we've ever had through the 5 years. I want to thank Gary Garver, who was the first person that got me on the podcast network. I want to thank Emery and Hendra Henderson for putting me on, letting me do the podcast at their apartment for a while and save the show. Mm. Jeremy Hansen at Skid Row Studios, and We Play Radio, which is where we were for a couple of years, I almost called you Jeremy, Trevor, and everybody here at the Ruby, Yay. Formerly the Nerdist School Studios.
Go Trevor.
And but Hillary'sVanity.com, one of our first sponsors and our current sponsor,
mm-hmm.
She just opened up her store. Listen to this story. This is my friend Hillary. She designs clothes. She's had a warehouse. She's sold online for years. Had a dream when she was 16. Wanted to have her own store. Now she has her own store. Oh. Right on Hollywood Way and Burbank. You know Hillary?
Yes.
Yes, visit her at the store.
I shall now.
It's right across the Portos on where all the cool stars are on Magnolia and Hollywood Way.
Yeah, your clothes are fabulous.
They're fabulous. And if you're not in L.A. or not in Burbank, go to www.hillarysvanity.com.
Nice.
They have the most stylish goth clothes from size extra small, which I think Diane is.
Thank
you. To 4X, which I'm not quite there yet, but I'll get there eventually.
Nice. All sizes.
All sizes.
For all kinds of fun.
And tell her about the parasol.
Yeah, don't forget about your parasols. They gave me a beautiful parasol for my birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
Mark as well. You know, it was a gift from all of them. And summer's coming, so. And, I mean, it's a big parasol. It will cover you.
Oh, wow.
It's the Halloween parasol that was sold out for Halloween. So you might
want
to go online and order that now.
All right.
Beautiful.
I love it. I'm excited.
Also,
all these quality. Things I'm learning. I had no idea. I love
yes.
this.
Yes, welcome to the dark side.
Okay. I like the dark side.
Yeah. And you got to mention the quality of her items.
Absolutely.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
You don't find that a lot today.
No, you don't find it at all.
Yeah.
I wore her tie last week. That's why I wasn't going to wear it 2 weeks in a row, but I should have because...
I like your tie, though, too. Your tie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This actually is...
Binary.
My parents got this tie. It's a binary code for tie suck. Somebody actually put that in. Nice. And it does
that
say tie suck.
So somebody who reads code will be like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
What?
Yeah, it's very fun.
You look very mobster tonight.
Yeah. Well, I'm dressed up for the 5-year anniversary.
That's good.
5 years ago, April 1st, Michael Vile, Bree Walker, the anchor woman.
Yeah, Bree. Yeah.
You remember Bree Walker?
Yes.
Yes, and Susan McIntosh, who was a transsexual comedian.
Wow.
She was.
She wasn't. She was dressed as a woman then, but she like did shows as a man.
Wow. Now I feel awkward.
Yeah, so I will tell Bree you said hi.
Because great. She's a friend of mine. That's so cool.
So anyway, I couldn't believe I got them, and that it's been just crazy. I've made so many friends, met so many people I admire, people I grew up with, people that I that became stars. I mean, just people. It's been great. Also, Audible is sponsoring the show. Go to audibletrial.com.
Awesome.
/DMS.
Man, your show has come so far.
Get a free audiobook and get a free 30-day trial at Audible. You can get anything you want. I look for your book. That's not on there, but there are books about teen movies. And
maybe they'll get it.
The Amityville Horror is on there, and you were in Amityville too. And
yep.
So, so they've got all sorts of things. I know they have a lot of books on teens and 80s and all of that. So without further ado... And that was very impressive, Michael. I appreciate you starting off the show like that.
Oh, yeah.
I know you got a couple of other things coming.
Sure.
But I want to talk to Diane because I, we've all seen your movies.
Good.
I think
I don't know if everyone in the audience has. So I was an actress in the 80s. Maybe they don't know. So
well, here's
can't
the thing.
Take it for granted.
Well, let's go back even. You were. Okay. The daughter of German immigrants that grew up on Long Island, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, they spoke with a German accent. They talk like this. They have a German
Both of your
voice.
Parents talk like that?
Yeah. My father was Austrian. My mother was German. But yeah, they both talk with accents. But I actually didn't hear their voices. I didn't hear the dialect. Because
right.
when you're raised with it, you don't hear you don't necessarily hear it at the beginning. But as I got to be like 10 years old, I started hearing it, and actually I had a manager at the time. I started acting at 10.
Right.
And my manager said, I was from Long Island, and when you talk,
yeah,
everyone's
Long
talking
Island.
Like this, right? So I started to have a little bit of a Long Island flavor to my voice. The manager said, you cannot do that if you're going to be in the entertainment business. You have to have a more mid-United States voice, mid-American voice. So I started watching the news and learned to speak without an accent. I learned to speak news.
So because in Better Off Dead,
yes.
the Japanese guy learned how to speak English watching Howard Cosell.
That's right. That's
so
right.
You did it in a similar way.
Can I just say something that has never occurred to me until right now? It's absolute truth. There you go. You have, at this one moment, we have actually made it full circle, and yes, it is true. You can learn to speak by watching television.
Wow, that's amazing.
Without a dialect,
That's amazing. And thankfully, you weren't listening to Howard Cosell. You were
yes,
listening to...
because if I had done that, I would be talking like this, right?
Yes, you listened to... And so you were a model?
Yes, I started with
a
modeling.
A preteen model?
Yes, I did. Oh, my gosh. I did catalog work. Penny's and Sears and Macy's. If you have an old
And by
catalog,
the way, none of them are in business now, but...
Right. Isn't it crazy? Like... those businesses.
Well, they were huge,
right? Macy's, Sears catalog. If you have like a catalog from the 70s, I was probably in that.
Oh, wow.
Because I did modeling from, well, 70, like I'd say 70 to 72, like 70 to 1972, something like that.
Wow.
But I did fashion shows and modeling. I did a fashion show for Waldorf Astoria. Had a fake fur fashion show at the Waldorf Astoria. And what was funny was that was like the first fake fur show that they had. Everything was real fur up until that fashion show.
Wow.
And I was, and there were all these big fashion models walking down it, and I was dressed in a little coat, and I was maybe, gosh, you know, 12 or 11. It was just really funny. But fun experiences, just modeling was really a great start for being in the entertainment business, because what it actually taught me was self-control, body control. I mean, I kind of learned that from ballet.
Right.
But you do learn body movement control, and that really helps when you're playing a character.
Right.
Because you have to choose, when you're playing a character, what parts of your bodies move. Everything tells a story. You know, your body and your voice tell a story.
Yeah.
So basically, that gave me really good training. And
sure.
And,
but it wasn't awkward being a preteen girl around women, you know, grown women modeling?
No, it was fun. Everybody, you know, had fun. The only thing I'd have to say is I had to watch my weight at that age. And this was a time before exercise. Okay, you in the audience may not know this, but exercise wasn't always considered okay to do.
Right.
So you could do sports. I took ballet. There was, in the 70s, there was no jazz or, I mean, there was tap. There was no, like, Broadway dancing. It was...
Well, there was not a gym on every corner.
There was no gym. And if you were exercising, you had to be, like, it was kind of almost, don't exercise. It was almost shameful. Like, don't concentrate on your body. It was vain.
Right.
It wasn't that it was... Not, it wasn't like, I love you. I'm just saying, talking to the pigeon, the dove first. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, what's the pigeon's name, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. B.
Mr. B, you're awesome. So I'll tell you, Mr. B, it wasn't always exercise heaven. And that's why I think it's great for people to take advantage of the fact that we can exercise, because body was considered something like you just don't look at the body. You know, it was
but a lot of people were skinny because they were on drugs.
Well, they were, yes. So then what happened was a lot of people did, people took drugs, people starved themselves. I mean, that was, and then it was not talked about, you know. People just didn't talk about it, or people throw up, you know. And what happened for me, like, I started so young that I just had to sort of watch. I love food.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, but I had to start watching what I was eating. That's kind of what you did, you know. And I was lucky enough to have, my mom would, like, you know, you do the thing where she just helped me. Because, I mean, I was raised with, like, you know, bratwurst and you know,
sauerkraut,
German sauerkraut, and, like, heavy, heavy food, like big roasts and stuff. And so for me to lose weight was more like, okay, we're going to have carrots and celery in the refrigerator, and you're going to have, like, a turkey sandwich instead of, like, two eggs with, like, you know. I mean, it was like...
No leverwurst for you.
Yeah, like the heavy, heavy duty things.
Yes.
So, but it is interesting today, because I have to say that the exercise stuff balances it out. So you can have your chocolate cake, but just work out. You know?
Well, I was going to say, you, it's 2018, and you look the same.
Yeah.
You're a vampire. How do you do that?
I'm a vampire. I'll tell you what it is. It's because I started at, like, 10 watching my weight, I always, when it got a little too heavy, I always brought it back.
Right.
And I think you're 10 years old. Why should you watch your weight? Who cares? You're looking at yourself going, why can't I have that extra ice cream or that whatever? There's no reason why not, until you discover the opposite sex or the same sex, right? Until you discover your...
Yeah, sexuality.
You know, that you are sexual. And then... That's when all girls freak out and go, oh, my gosh, I am not attractive. Like, what's going on? I'm not skinny enough. I'm like, no. If you feel sexy, you are sexy, right?
You hear that, Hannah?
Doesn't matter what your body looks like. If you feel it and you can rock it,
You are. Okay? So that's the first. Let's just clarify that. All right. Let's just make that. Let's just say that is true. Okay? Now, as far as weight goes, I'm very small. So when I would gain weight, you'd see it really fast because I'm 5'2".
Right.
But somebody who's taller, they may have to gain 10 pounds to see it or 20 pounds. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for me, because I was doing modeling, and honestly, I wanted to be an actress so badly. I was like, oh my gosh,
Who's somebody you grew up with that you wanted to be like?
Well, I would say maybe Meryl Streep was probably the first influence, and I would say only because of the dialects she was using. When she did Sophie's Choice, I know that influenced me a lot because I loved the fact that she was not Polish and that she did that. That, to me, was acting. And it probably is what attracted me to do dialects myself.
I was going to say, we're gonna talk about...
She was my inspiration,
People thought you were French. For real.
That is very nice.
Based on Pierre Rafted.
But, you know, and then somebody, I think, in the New York Times was like, oh, yeah, that's so French. But the other thing about dialects, which you don't know until you're an actor, you're doing it, is just because you can do it very realistically doesn't mean that it's the tone of what you're doing, nor does it mean that people can understand what you're doing.
Right.
Like, I did a German accent for something, and it was so real, but it was so hard to understand, you know? And it's like you need to find that balance. And if you are doing someone's life and you are trying to portray someone as they really are, well, then you have to do your best. But you have to think about that. But when you're creating a character that's your own, you just have to embody it.
You have to dial it back a little bit so everybody can understand.
I mean, acting, to me, really good acting, when I look at it, is... your body and voice are telling a story, and then the story they're telling, the better the actor, the more the detail is, and the more obviously you make it your own and you become that and you access yourself.
Right.
And it's easier for me to act in a way now because I know myself better.
Right.
But I think it's interesting looking back at the things I've done because I go, wow. You know, I really had a lot of knowledge and self-control and professionalism to do that at that young age.
Well, and also, I mean, the camera loves you. A close-up of you.
Well, the cinematographers, too.
Close-ups of you and Better Off Dead and Last American Virgin are just amazing.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
But magic's like that. Yeah. You have to use your body and your voice to tell a story.
Yep.
It's all directions and pointing and misdirections and stuff like that.
So when did you first get into magic and who inspired you?
Yeah.
I didn't know I could do it. I mean, I don't have this wonderful story of when I was 9 and I had an uncle that pulled a quarter out of the ear or anything like that. I started when I was after my first deployment.
Right. You were an Iraq War veteran.
Actually, further back than that.
Oh, okay.
I'm a vampire as well.
Civil War? I mean...
not that far. But
Spanish American War?
1991, actually, Desert Storm.
The first Gulf War.
I was in the first iteration.
Right.
Oh. That's okay, right?
That's okay. Have the coffee, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Good.
Gonna jump into the coffee then.
Okay, go ahead. But that's amazing. It's through Desert Storm. Wow.
Yeah,
You started to.
Were you doing it
after that? After I got back, and I was questioning, what am I gonna do with myself? Trying to find myself, as it were.
And you discover magic.
Yeah, I did. I did just kind of it.
Do you have a friend that was a magician?
Horrible story. We were all under 21. That much I do remember.
Right. Drugs, and, drinking involved?
No, nothing like that. No, but the friend of the friend could get us into the club in Washington, D.C., being that it was a strip club, and you had to be over 21 to get into this type of establishment.
Right.
But he got us in. I'm like, how the heck did you get us in here? And he was like, he made a handkerchief disappear. He's like, I do tricks. I make them like me. I'm like, you're kidding me. You got us in here by doing that? I mean,
that's
a great story.
That's the honest one. It's not pretty, but it's the honest one.
Honesty is the best thing. That is actually a great story.
No, that's a great story.
Well, I mean, if you're using your powers for evil and to manipulate people and to try to do things like that, you know. But
So
it's nice.
The dove is molting, by the way.
Is it molting?
Oh, it's that time of year.
Yeah.
Actually, it's egg laying time, too.
So don't be surprised.
You're going to get an egg? That's true. Well, yeah, I guess they can lay eggs anytime they want, right? I never even thought about it. Chickens, yes, but do doves lay eggs?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So I ended up,
you know, and he said, yeah, I just went to the magic shop, bought this $10 trick, and boom, you know, that's where that guy's, he stopped there. Rick, if you're listening, it was Rick. My friend right. Todd's friend Rick that got us yeah. into magic. We went to the magic shop, and I blew a pile of money and got a couple of tricks, and it changed everything. This was like the 90s.
Right.
So the nightclub was, you know, it was like yeah. loud.
Right.
And I was like, hi, what's your name?
Right, right, right.
So it was like, yeah, social yeah. interaction was kind of limited.
Right.
Unless you did something mm-hmm. different.
And you did something different.
Yeah, I put guyliner on.
Yeah. And that wasn't that different in the 90s.
it was an experiment at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was just something. This was like a mainstream type of nightclub situation.
Right. Well, I know that your pirate look, as it were, has evolved.
Yeah, it wasn't purposefully pirate look, as it were, or the Captain Morgan look, but this crazy facial hair thing. Yeah. Oh, that was I lost a bet. Jeez, actually, it was a dare.
A dare to grow your beard.
I bet you can't. I was like, I don't know. Let's see what happens, and it's still like crazy.
So basically, peer pressure rules your life.
Yeah. How long are you gonna go with it?
Yeah, how long is it going to be? What are we going to do?
Yeah, no, that's a good
question.
Are
we going to be back here next year and it's going to be like, wait?
it's pretty long now. Oh, yeah, here we go. Bubbles.
Oh.
See, it totally changed the subject just doing that.
See?
And I was wondering why that was tasting so awful.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering what you're going to do with these.
Yeah, these are straws. Here, do you know how to operate that?
Sure.
Here, take a dip.
Oh, just like this?
Yeah.
See, we all thought that was lemonade. Silly us.
Stick it in there?
Yeah, just here.
Oh, and try it.
Yeah, do it.
Yes, you two ladies blow.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I'll say it just so you
don't inhale whatever you do. Just
just blow.
Ooh, look at this one.
Oh, yeah.
Martin, do you want
to? You go ahead. Blow away. I've got to do the job.
I am not good at this. See,
just blow out.
Right, but watch.
Here. See?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got a couple there. That's some good bubbles. Yeah, we didn't ask Trevor for permission. We asked Trevor permission for the fire, but not for the bubbles. Bubbles
sorry.
Okay?
Yeah. Sorry, I keep getting into the equipment.
No, I think that's okay. It's not a big deal.
Let me help you.
I think we're crossing the line with the bubbles here.
Ooh.
He just turned the bubble into a ball. Now he's twirling the ball. You might put the ball in his mouth. Ooh. Yeah. Okay, now there's a bubble. There's a ball.
Love
it. Hey, isn't that pretty? That's just pretty. I just
got a ball and a dove.
You know, this guy, somebody should date him, okay? Because imagine dating a guy like this. I mean, seriously, the magic between the two of you. Like,
Oh, yeah.
This is amazing.
Do you have a girlfriend now, Michael?
Not at the moment. No.
Well, ladies out there, this is the man. I mean, how much fun would you have? Seriously, wow.
Well, when I told Michael Vile, when I texted him and said, "Should you come on the show?" He said, "Sure." Okay. And I said, "You know who else is going to be on? Diane Franklin." What was your reaction?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I was like Last American Virgin.
Yes,
I remember that.
Yes.
And it was a very specific scene from that.
The ending?
Well, not to mention, if I may keep it a family show, but if I may say that, yeah, it was 6 months after that movie came out. I'm totally dating myself here, I mean, as far as age-wise, but I lost my virginity.
You lost your virginity after seeing The Last American Virgin.
Well,
would be accurate, but there was one specific scene that stood out.
Yep. Yeah, just because
I was in high school.
Because you lost your virginity in the movie on a football field.
In the football stadium thing. That was on the stadium. It was like in that box.
In the press box.
Thank you.
I was on the AV club. I had access. I had keys to that box. It was after hours. I took my girlfriend up there, and I practically duplicated your scene from that freaking movie. I really did.
But
you
didn't get her pregnant.
No.
Good.
No.
I was waiting for that.
That came way later. That came later.
Good.
Well, it's interesting because I heard Diane on another interview saying that Last American Virgin was like sex education.
Yes, I think it's sex education.
That's
for
how it worked, guys.
Yeah. It really was.
Yeah, if you're watching, that's
I told Hannah about that. Hannah's not seen it.
No, I've seen it.
Oh, you have seen it?
He brought her a teddy bear and a Christmas tree, or flowers and a Christmas tree. Something when you were in the hospital. Better off dead.
But Last American Virgin, honestly, if you haven't seen it, and I wouldn't normally even say this, but the truth is, Last American Virgin is sex education for guys. Mm. It's the perfect film because you will go in and get all your happiness from the
See a 19-year-old Diane Franklin.
Right, 19. But then... I was 19. But then after that, you're going to learn about love, and you would never go to see a love story. So that's what's so interesting about the film. You're going to learn about guy stuff, like all kinds of stuff. And this was based on the director's life, this true story. So everything that happened was real.
Right.
It really happened to him. And it is actually a remake of a film called Lemon Popsicle, which was an Israeli film. So this was the American version of that. Lemon Popsicle had a 1950s theme.
Right.
And Better Off Dead, no.
Last American Virgin.
It's too many films. Last American Virgin had the 80s. Amazing 80s soundtrack.
It's got everybody. It's the Police, the Cars, the Blondie. It's got Devo. It'll take you right back.
Oingo Boingo,
all of them.
If you don't know what the 80s are, it's a great movie to see because it is a time capsule of 80s music, 80s style.
Yes.
My hair, it was the first time curly hair was in the 80s. My hair kickstarted the entire 80s thing. It was the reason why if your mother got perms, well, yeah, it was because of me.
Well, that's another thing you said in the review is that you were the first romantic lead. The American dream girl, the teen crush,
right?
Or the crush, the love object that had curly hair. And I was thinking about it, and you're right.
I know, because I lived it. Because 10 years before, I had been straightening my hair for auditions, and I actually was just checking. Amy Irving had curly hair as well. She was in Carrie,
right.
And she played a teen in Carrie in 1976, I think, or whatever. But she was even then 21 when she did it. And when I did Virgin, it was like I was the first teen role model with curly hair that made it beautiful. Because before, curly hair was like frizzy or she was like the best friend.
Yeah.
There was never, you as a teen, you would never ever want curly hair. It was like, oh gosh, you know, what am I going to do with it? I can't go to school. You spend hours getting it, you know, done. But because of that film, suddenly it became beautiful. And attractive. And so to me, and I remember when I did it, I was like, oh my gosh, is this really happening? Am I like doing this job with curly hair? And they actually afterwards was like job after job, like, oh no, no, you keep your curly hair. And I got lead after lead. And so I really think it was a combination, obviously, of timing. It was
talent.
Talent, thank you. Well, you know what? I had worked enough that I, when it hit, I was ready to work and act. You know, it wasn't just sort of like
you know, there's
a lot of
your old commercials on YouTube.
I know.
The Coke commercials, the Trident Mint commercial.
Yes. I know that commercial happened also later, like in, maybe I was 16 or 17. Again, that
a lot of
was
singing and dancing in these commercials.
Because of fame and all the, you know, all those things.
And it was I'm a Pepper, You're a Pepper. That was a big thing at the time.
I'm a Pepper, right. There was musicals, you know, it was dancing and singing. And
yeah, like people, Coke's great. You know, it's like.
And that Coke commercial, I did it because Coke Is It was the campaign.
Oh, okay.
That was the first commercial that was a minute long. The commercials were never that long. And it was the first one.
Oh, wow.
Like, and Andre Bartkowiak, who's a cinematographer, who is a director now.
I've heard the name.
He worked with Sidney Lumet, and he directed that commercial. Right. So, I mean, there's like a lot
Didn't he direct Runaway Train, or is that somebody else up there?
I don't know.
Anyway.
But he directed a lot of great films. I mean, it's just interesting to see that
where it started. Yeah, I was imploring Hannah to watch Last American Virgin because it's the story of my life.
Is it? It is.
And there's a story. There's a study on YouTube about the beta male, and they use Last American Virgin.
Really?
Yes. About this is what you don't not to do. Here's
right.
Well, it's basically a movie that for
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a movie for about an hour and 10 minutes is like a Porky's sort of sex comedy. Although it did do a lot of things. Porky's and Fast Times came out about the same time, and I was surprised at similarities because there's a whole scene where they're peeking in the shower. Yep. Like Porky's.
Yeah.
Although in this movie, they actually measured their dicks.
Right.
That's a different type of scene.
He's a guy film.
Yeah. And then, there's the abortion thing, just like in Fast Time.
Oh, but there's cocaine and hard liquor drinking. Right. And I mean, that's interesting true. With Virgin, because a lot of people, if you watch it now, you will be shocked at how you'll be surprised. You will even today watch that film and be affected.
Right.
Which is what I think is so amazing.
Well, I am affected. I think that the reason that's grown in resonance is that I think when people saw it when they were a kid, and I know I did watching the video when I was a kid, I didn't quite get it. Like, you have to have a few heartbreaks, and then you're like, oh, yeah. Because at the end of the movie,
you really appreciate it afterwards. Yeah.
So after about the last 15 minutes are a Greek tragedy.
Yeah.
The blonde guy who's always the blonde guy's always the villain in
right,
the 80s movie.
True. Yep.
Blonde guy's always the villain. The dark haired guy's always the hero. And they go on all these hijinks and adventures, and they try to, like, he's in love with you, the dark haired guy.
Yeah.
And
he's a good guy, and you want us together. Yeah. I'm very like, I'm the girl who goes out. I wind up going out with his best friend.
So. Right. And the blonde guy, mm-hmm. and they try to push him off on your best friend. Who's gorgeous.
Right.
Who's Kimmy Robertson, who was in Twin Peaks.
She's beautiful and just like, awesome.
There's a scene where he's like, she's like trying to, she's in a bikini, and he's like, could you rub my back with, and her, both your bodies are amazing.
And agreed, yeah. I never thought
but,
of that.
She's wearing a string bikini, and he's like, I have to rub your back. You're such an ugly, I'm like, she's hot. What's the matter with you? But
I know they really had to try to tone her down, which I thought was really, I mean, poor Kimmy. Like, she is so beautiful, and they really had to just, like, how can we make her look more, you know, best friend, frumpy, whatever. I don't know. But, I mean, she's beautiful.
Yeah. Once again, of course, later on in the scene, they try to drown the crabs they got from a hooker in the pool, but that's a whole other thing. But you got to watch this movie again. At the end of the so then... The blonde guy on the football field. And that's another similarity of Fast Times, because of Fast Times, rapper Jason Lee loses her virginity.
And that's that mm-hmm. film
in
again.
In a baseball field.
They came at the same time, and Virgin was made first, but Fast Times came out first.
Right.
And that we felt that really hit Virgin. It was really hard because people were comparing it. Yeah. Whereas if Virgin came out by itself, maybe it would have done a lot better.
Right.
But of course, it's still with us today. I mean, all the films are with us. But it is always an interesting comparison because look at Fast Times is the American version with a happy ending.
Right.
And Virgin is the European ending, like or more like, you know, this is life.
It is life. Well, and so you get knocked up. The blonde guy doesn't want anything to do with you. The dark haired guy's like, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of everything. Takes you to the worst abortion clinic ever. This is like a Nazi camp. The close-up of the doctor, you're like, holy crap, is this Mengele? Who is this guy?
Yeah, right.
Even the girl in the operating room is like, she's like, it's got to be $200 cash. And
this is a good impression.
Yes.
The acting, it's funny because when I was watching this again, the acting, because I think some of the dialogue was kind of weird. And
yes, no, it was interesting that she was... played very evil, and also the doctor who does the abortion was played very evil. Yeah. And I think always it's what's really great
but
about
your
this
acting
film,
in that scene is it's undeniable.
Well, it's what it is. Is it's kids in that film. We were all teenagers when we did it, but we were treated as we act as adults, even though we're teens.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're acting as if we're, like, in our 20s.
Right.
Not like that we're adult, but we're having adult situations, and we're going, well, we have to take care of it. I mean, I'm not going to my mother in the scene and going, Mom, I got pregnant. I'm not going to. He's not going to his parents. He's not trying to get money from his parents. He's selling things that he owns. I mean, what's interesting about.
Yeah, he sells a stereo. He got his money from his boss. All to the strains of U2's I Will Follow.
Yeah. Yeah, which is amazing,
and it fits perfectly. A lot of the music cues in the scene in the movie were like really on the nose.
Oh, it was amazing that they were able to get
since you're gone,
music.
And then she's gone,
oh,
and then,
yeah,
and
just once. No,
don't say that.
Don't say it, right.
Oh, that's the one that stays with you the whole time.
It does, and it just I was just also going to say that the reactions when you talked about like the doctor and the woman from the abortion clinic, it's almost it's like they are cast as the from the point of view of the teenager going, you know, I'm afraid. I mean, maybe in real life they wouldn't have been as judgmental or, or kind of scary, but the perspective, Boaz, the director, really got that, which I thought was great.
Right.
That, you know, you're terrified. I mean, something like this happens to you, and you are terrified. You're going through it alone. So I think a lot of people can bond with it. And
right. Because the Jennifer Jason Leigh abortion scene in Fast Times is, you know, it's pretty affecting, but... I mean, you crying is just, I mean, it's just, you're breaking down.
And
it's
you know,
awful.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, I.
Go ahead, Anna.
Going through those experiences, yeah. I was like, I am going to cry here. Like, a lot of times in Boaz's Lemon Popsicle, I mean, you know, there's sadness, but there wasn't crying. And I'm like, no, you do not understand. If a girl goes through this, she is going to cry. And it doesn't, I can, you know, I don't care if I look ugly or whatever. I'm just, you know, because that's what you would go through. Yeah. Well, you're scared, you know?
Well, that's the thing. You actually look beautiful. You were naked and it wasn't arousing at all.
but here's the thing between like First American Virgin and Fast Times. The difference is we remember you and what you went through at Fast Times. Like,
oh, that's interesting.
Spicoli, you know, there's so many characters. There's so much going on there. But
ordering the pizza.
Yeah.
Right. And Mr. Hand.
Birthday party for me in here.
You know?
And then the ending. Well, this is what people remember is.
Bully.
So he did all this for you, because he loved you.
Right.
Says that he loves you. You give him a kiss, which I've seen on online comments. Oh, the friend kiss.
The friend kiss. Yes, yeah. Friend zone.
Yeah. So then, it's your birthday party. So he's all excited. He buys a bracelet for you. Shows up at the birthday party. They're like, oh, she's in the kitchen. She's kissing the guy that got her pregnant, the blonde guy.
It was described with love, too, right?
Yes,
to Karen with love. Yeah.
And then the look on his face, the look on all your faces, and then he goes in the car and cries, and that's my life. That's my life.
Hey, I feel that. We've all been there, most of us.
Yeah.
Except for Diane, because Diane married and you've been married for about over 30 years, right?
I've been married, like, since 89.
But
I dated a lot before. So by the time I dated my husband, like I knew what I wanted.
Well,
like,
because the one thing I did not do, I didn't check on who's dated who.
I know. Well, I can give you some updates. Like, I mean, I dated Bill Paxton.
Really?
Yeah.
R.I.P.
No, I never dated John, and I never knew even if John wanted to date me because I was dating my husband by then.
What happened was,
here's what happened. Like, you know, when I had this thing when I worked with someone, never, ever get involved with someone while you're working. Mm-hmm. You don't. Because you're going to lose the chemistry, and if it gets weird, what do you do? Like, it's like in high school, honestly. Like, you date somebody, and you date in ninth grade. Well, guess what? They're going to be in their 10th, 11th, and 12th. I mean, you're going to have to deal with it. So, and it's always sad. You don't want to see them dating somebody else. It's just kind of
so how
tricky.
So how was a young Bill Paxton to date?
Oh, he was wonderful. Yeah. I mean, he was just... The thing about Bill was we did a movie of the week called Deadly Lessons. And Deadly Lessons was a ABC movie of the week. And he played a farmhand. And I played this young farm... This girl going from a... Like, going to a prep school. I'm like a simple farm girl going to prep school. And it was... And Donna Reed was in it. And Ally Sheedy. And Nancy Cartwright was in it. She played...
Simpson.
Who played, you know, Bart Simpson. She's amazing. So there's all these actresses in it. Like, really great. And I wind up, so we worked, and then afterwards, and he's like, "Hi, Diane, you know, oh, come on, let's go on out." And like, you know, and like, I remember he had a place in Santa Monica, and that was the time where Santa Monica was like an old, it was like a senior home area.
Right.
Santa Monica was a cozy, quiet little seaside town. Nobody went there, and
all the cool kids were in Venice.
Everyone was in Venice. And he had a place there, and like we go out to his place, and we just go out for food. And
well, you knew he liked you, and he knew you liked him.
Yeah, we were. It was great. And I think the reason we just wound up not dating, we dated for a couple of months, but I think afterwards, because our careers went different directions, and really we were both young actors who wanted to pursue our careers.
Right.
And I think that is really one of the things about the entertainment business, which is maybe so different than, let's say, you get a regular job and you work at a place and you see those people all the time.
Right.
For acting or any freelance job, artists, dancers, singers, musicians, you're moving and doing your things so many different places that you're meeting more people, but you're also you also have a dream and you need to pursue it. Right. It's not like you got your job and you're done. So all the actors that I worked with along the side, we all just would kind of pass and go hi and like get to know each other, and then you move on because you know it's not the right timing, you know.
Right. Any other celebrities?
Any other celebrities?
Keanu.
I love Keanu.
Oh,
he's so cute.
With John Cusack, I never knew if he liked me, but I did wind up finding out later that Curtis Armstrong liked me, and also Ricky.
What a shock.
Dan Schneider.
Well, Dan Schneider, who's in a lot of trouble now.
I don't know. Yeah, right. We know nothing.
Was he grabby on the set? Let's be honest. Now we're talking Better Off Dead.
No, it was absolutely, everyone was very cool. I was very happy that I got to kiss John, but at the same time, I'd been dating, I was like, starting to date my husband during that time, which was like my boyfriend at the time. Yeah.
Is he related to Dino De Laurentiis?
Distantly. The grandfathers are related. So it's distantly related, but it is funny because I actually went to Dino. The grandfathers, I guess, had a fight, and it was like one grandfather said, you know, Fungal, and so the other one went, okay, I'm changing my spelling of my last name. So Dino has two eyes at the end, and we have one eye. So
So he is related to Dino,
we don't go over there for dinner. But what was weird was once I met Dino. Like, I met him on the when I did Amityville Part 2. I remember we shot the basic of Amityville in the main part of Amityville in Mexico.
Right.
And I was
really
20 by myself in Mexico.
Posing as Long Island in Mexico.
Posing as it was Long Island in Mexico, the interior.
Yeah.
So all the screaming and all that running around happened in Mexico. I
gotta watch this now because friend, I said,
when you
were
visualize,
on.
When you see it, you'll be like, okay, that was in a soundstage.
Yeah.
So when we did it, and then there's nudity in the film, and
I really gotta see it now.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get into the details, but
I've heard
Dino De Laurentiis called me and he said, "I want to talk." They go, "Dino wants to talk to you," and I'm like, "Okay." And we're about to shoot this scene, and he's like, I had to meet him in his like limousine, and I go in and he's like, "I want to talk to you. You know, like, I think you should do this. We would like to do a little bit more of the nudity, and we would like to know if you would be open to doing this." And
were you going out with
your beautiful body? I'm like, "I don't think so." No. And I was just, I was 20, but I had been in the business long enough to be able to go, "You're right. Nudity is beautiful. Body is beautiful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. But no. It's not in my contract. No. You can ask me again. No." Okay. So.
Were you going out with his cousin at that time?
No.
Oh, okay.
So then I didn't even, we didn't even know. And then later I wound up meeting my husband years later. So it's just I think I have to say, sexual harassment.
Hannah and Michael seem a little pop. Dino De Laurentiis was a big Hollywood producer.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. No,
and just for the Renegade Radio audience, because we're talking inside stuff. Yeah, so
You're
married to one of his relatives.
Ray De Laurentiis,
Ray De Laurentiis.
So,
Because he's been sleeping with you for 30 years, I'm jealous of him, but I'm sure. You've raised two children.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been together for 30 years, so he's obviously a nice guy.
He is unbelievably awesome.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, my husband, and I don't normally talk about him, because I figure, like, who wants to hear about my husband? You're like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to ruin it for a lot of crushes, like, whatever. But he has the biggest heart. He is so sweet. He is hilarious. That's something I really demand in a relationship. Yeah. You must be funny.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just not going to happen, right?
Right.
You have to charm me. You have to, like, so he is wonderful.
Right.
And he is, he serves.
And Michael and I have charmed
exercise,
you, but
it's
too late.
Yep, I'm sorry.
It's too late.
Better off than too late. Yeah.
Trevor over there.
Trevor hasn't even turned around to charm yet. Are you saying for yourself, Hannah? What's going on?
But,
Well, you like Machine Head, Trevor?
No.
Okay.
He's probably like, who are they?
All right. So we're seeing how metal. We're seeing how metal Trevor is.
Okay.
But we got to talk about Better Off Dead. I told you the time's going by so fast.
I know. And did you happen to mention I have the actual Better Off Dead code?
Yes. Maybe we should have you put yes.
So I want to point out something.
And it still fits.
This is the best code ever. I am so excited. I don't really remember how I got it, but I want to bring this up. I have written a couple of books.
Yes.
And I wrote a book My first book was about, I did it in 2012, and it was about how I became an 80s actress.
Right.
And then the second book I wrote was about, I decided to do it because I suddenly hit me that I was the first actress to bring curly hair in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And so if you like Last American Virgin, get the second book because right. that one really is focusing. And Brett Ratner was a huge fan. Or
I was going to get to Brett Ratner, who's also in trouble.
Right, right. Well, yeah, like, right, you know. And see, the thing is for me, like, these people, they never did anything to me.
There you go.
And also all I can say is they've been stellar to me. So, and I will. That's all I leave it at. What people do right. in their own thing is not my life, my right. business. And I certainly back anybody who's dealing with stuff that they want to talk about. I think right. right now in America, we're all coming out. We're cleaning out the American closet.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have to say...
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, we are.
I love that. Yeah.
And I got to say, I really think Trump helped us do it. And I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying, do you understand that people started to talk about things once he became president? And everyone's talking about everything. And we need to do that in America. We need to clean out the closet.
Wait, I think Michael just vomited. Right? I didn't know what was going on.
Just a little bit in my mouth. That's
okay.
All
right. Anyway, please.
Yeah.
Well.
We gotta clean up America, and this is the way you do it, by everyone talking and getting it out. And anyway.
Hey, we're going to be back in the 80s.
Right, and be proud of who you are, too. Be like, I'm not going to back down or hide.
Right. Exactly. It's bringing up a lot of stuff. So, and it is interesting. I mean, as an actress, people will come to me and go, well, you know, were you sexually harassed and all that stuff? Mm-hmm. And I had one experience, but he wasn't even, I would say that, I think it's just because I acted for so long, and somehow I got lucky and didn't meet Harvey Weinstein, and I don't know how that's even possible, because I was so...
Well, you took a hiatus for a lot of years.
Yeah, but I'm from Long Island, you'd think. He's right. from Long Island. Right. I don't know. It was just... Maybe I was a little too young. I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, but I got lucky, and... But certainly it's time to, you know, clean that closet out. What? Anyway, what? Regardless, third book is going to be about Better Off Dead. It's going to be my second book for Virgin fans, first book for if you want to know about what it was like in the 80s as an actress.
Yes.
And just look up Diane Franklin book on Amazon. But this is my third book. I'm going to do a tribute to Better Off Dead. And anybody, I go to conventions, and anyone who wears the coat, I will put in my book. So if you know who I am and you have a picture of yourself in the coat, or you have a picture with me wearing the coat, send it to me.
Through DianeFranklin.com?
Yeah, you got to send it. Well, there's a couple of things. You can send it to me. I have to, like, have you sign, like, a disclosure thing. But you could send me or contact me at BOD, Better Off Dead, coatbook@gmail.com.
Okay. BOD coatbook@gmail.com.
You could send it there, and then I can converse with you there. Like, I can get back to you and let you know what else I need. But this book's not going to happen right away.
Because hopefully we can get some stories out to right now.
Yeah.
But first off, about Brett Ratner, because I remember he did an interview with Howard Stern, which is very, very candid, where he was. And that got him in trouble because he was producing the Oscars. And I like Brett Ratner. I like his movies. I think he's he and other directors that make big blockbusters get a bad rap because they're not rapped by other directors. The other directors are like, I know what they're doing.
Right.
You know, it's tough to make a movie like that. And and you don't see indie directors saying, oh, well, Brett Ratner, Michael Bay. You see a bunch of guys on the internet saying, oh, these guys stink. And it's like, you don't know what it takes to make a $100 million movie. How could you even dare? Yeah. I've done editing and film projects just on a small scale. It's tough.
Well, you know, also, first of all, now let's just face it. The audience is diversified. You can say, I want an action film, but I want a dark action film, or I want a light action film, or something. So right now, we are very sort of boutique-y, kind of like everybody can pick their own little thing. So it's very easy to criticize another certain part of the genre because it's not like this or it's not like that.
Right.
But when he did those films, we didn't have the variety we have now, first of all. And second of all, yes, action films, they demand, you have to have an understanding of how expensive they are and how much vision it takes. And you just have to have a feeling for it. And again, you know,
well, you're corralling thousands of people and getting things in motion. It's a tough job.
Yeah. I think he's very talented. I think he did a really great job and still is doing a great job in working. I think he should direct more. I know that he was kind of like wanted to do more producing, mm-hmm. but I'm hoping that he's going to go back to directing. And, you know, he had the rights, or I don't know if he has them still, to Last American Virgin. And I was like, if you do another version of Virgin, I would love to be in it. You know, I'd be the
teacher, or the mother, or something.
I said I should be the prostitute.
Oh, and, that would be cute.
Not because I am necessarily like I have to play that role.
That prostitute was nasty.
But that's what happened to Karen. See, right. That's my feeling. If you saw that movie, you hated Karen, and if you saw her as the prostitute, wouldn't you be like, yeah, like that's I can't believe that's what should happen to her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And playing the mom, well, yeah, it's a flashback, but I sort of saw it sort of like continuing the story and what happens to her.
That would be a cute shocker to the right? fans. Will be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah, like that, oh my gosh.
Well, there was a long hiatus between Bill and Ted,
mm-hmm.
and I think he did another movie after that.
Yes.
And then you coming back like in the early 2000s.
Yes, and that was because I had my kids, and I wanted to be there for them. But speaking of Bill and Ted's, we're so on the verge, okay? We are on the verge of making the Bill and Ted's 3. It is so close. I have to say that the fact that Keanu and Alex are they're online right now.
Posing in phone booths.
They're posing together, and they're promoting it, is a really, really great sign.
Isn't that to get buzz about it? Like to see if people want it?
If they're not intending to do the film, it's not. They wouldn't be doing these.
Right.
Yeah.
These interviews
kind of
now.
A thrill, actually.
Yeah.
I have to admit.
Because mm-hmm. you were not in Bill and Ted 2, if I don't. Yeah.
So. But we might be in Bill and Ted 3. That would be
the. Are back.
That would be amazing.
Bill 2 had George Carlin in it.
Yeah. They both had George Carlin.
They both did.
But see, since George passed, they had to work with that. All I can tell you for me is. The business is very different now. Mm-hmm. It used to be where you would announce it and then you'd have a lot of time to like promote it. But because information goes out so quick, the minute somebody says there's distribution, people want to see it already.
Right.
So I think the publicity and the money, it's all changing a little bit. So I think if they wind up doing it, it's going to go maybe very fast. And then, you know, they have to get it out.
Have you been contacted by anybody?
Well, I've been spoken to with some people, so we'll see. Yeah,
insight.
We had a little bit of a conversation. Yeah. So, yeah.
No one can
promise anything until, you know, it happens, but...
I saw that movie for the first time in a long time because I knew you were coming on the show. You watch it every day, Hannah, I know.
I don't have time to watch it every day. I wish I did.
Oh, yeah, and you asked about Keanu. I love Keanu. He's awesome. We didn't work that long together.
Another accent, too, right? The English accent?
English, yes, of course. So we're hoping that maybe I'll be able to be in Bill and Ted's again with the other princess Kimberly Cates, who her name is now. It was Kimberly LaBelle. And so hopefully the two of us can be joined with the boys.
They always say, like, you have to be like a triple threat. You're like you're a quadruple threat because you got the accents, the scene, the dancing,
the curly hair.
Yeah.
The dove. No, that's yours.
And
I'm sorry.
The dove. I want the dove. Oh my! If I came home with this dove, my husband would die because he loves birds. It was really funny.
But Bill and Ted's probably, of all the movies you've done, that's probably the biggest hit.
Yes. Here's the interesting thing. Okay. I've acted all through the 80s. And as an actress, you never know what the audience is going to remember. The thing about Bill and Ted's, even more so than Better Off Dead, is that it can be shown to kids.
Yeah.
And the message is be excellent to each other.
Right.
And it's simple. And so you can take that film and show it to anyone in the world, and they will be able to back it, and they will be able to want to show it to the next generation. Yeah. So that's why, to me, that film is the most... popular, or I'd be recognized from it, you know, where people love, you know, they love that film.
Right.
It certainly wasn't the biggest role I've done, and if people like it, then they'll go and watch it. Better Off Dead, I'd have to say, is my favorite. I hope that I get remembered for it, but it's a beautiful little boutique film, and it's one of those films that you, I have to say, I think it's still funny.
We're gonna get to that, because I know that. I think it's an East Coast, West Coast thing, too, because I think all my friends from New Jersey and New York, they love you, and they love you from Better Off Dead. Better Off Dead is like their
back
thing.
East, yeah.
And that's why we're going to close with, like, a whole Better Off Dead questions.
Great.
But Do you get recognized on the street a lot? Because you look virtually the same.
Well, yeah. It depends on my hair. Like, okay, so I just got my hair cut shorter for some other acting stuff. But so this is more Monique, tout que l'existe, right?
Yeah.
But then if I do Bill and Ted's, maybe I'll have, like, longer hair for that. And then Amityville, this is the other thing. This year,
you're doing another Amityville.
I just did another. I mean, I supposedly have 4 films coming out this year. Wow. And you know, I think it all just depends on, like when people are doing things. There's a screening for a movie I'm going to in May, the premiere of Wally Got Wasted, which is sort of like Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, that sounds like...
Right?
Sounds
it's cute. Like the old, yeah. And I have a cameo in that. And then this, I did a movie called Waking Nightmare, which... Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to see this film. It's really scary for the horror fans.
Yeah.
And Shelley Regner, who is in Pitch Perfect, she plays one of the Bellas.
Okay.
Plays my daughter, and she somewhat looks a little bit like my daughter with dark hair. So it's kind of, when my daughter had dark hair, so it's kind of funny.
Mm.
And Jamison Newlander from Lost Boys is in it,
right?
And
the frog,
right?
Yeah, the frog
right?
brother.
And he plays my husband. It's just a great film. It's so good, and you're going to see me in a way you've never seen me before, which is so good. All the films.
It's a Frank Renaissance.
You're good. I mean, all I can promise you is anyone who sees any of the work I'm doing, that I've done, that's coming out, is going to go crazy because it is so different. And every role I do, I bring something different to it. Mm-hmm. So people are going to go cuckoo. There's going to be. And then Amityville, look for Amityville Murders. I'm waiting pins and needles, hoping that the film will come out around Halloween. Hoping, you know, we'll see. That's like the dream.
Well, here's what I understand about that.
Yeah.
Now, Amityville Horror was about the people that rented a house or bought the house.
The Lutz family.
The Lutz family.
Moving in. Okay.
Moving in, and there was a murder years ago, and the house is haunted. And all the stuff happens, they leave.
Right.
So, but Amityville 2 was about the original murder.
Yes. Now, some of you may not know this, but in Long Island, there was an actual murder that happened in 1974. It was real. A boy named Butch DeFeo, 23 years old, murdered his entire family and at night shot them all in bed. The odd part, there were several things that were unusual about this experience, but one of them was, why didn't anyone wake up? Because he went from bed to bed and shot everyone, and they were all in their bed when it happened.
Wow.
And then this was built, the house was built on a burial, ancient Indian burial ground. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff to it. And so what happened was, when I did Amityville Part 2, the possession, they didn't want to pay for the rights for Amityville taking the name. So what they did was, it was based on the true story of the DeFeo family, but they called it the Montelli family. So in Amityville Part 2, the possession, I play the daughter, okay? And there was incest in the film.
Right.
And that was supposed to be based on the truth of what happened with the relationship of the DeFeos, but they never really proved it. And so that was a version of that. Now, this movie that's coming out this year, Amityville Murders. I know there's a lot of Amityvilles. So it's probably how many
Amityville
are there?
The Awakening. Yeah,
this one is the most is unbelievable because
it's the truest one.
It's the truest way. First of all, it's based on the guy Daniel Ferrans, the director, who's an amazing director. Not only did he do the documentary, so he knows all the facts.
Okay.
But he also wrote the script. So it came from his knowledge of that, but he also wrote The Haunting in Connecticut. So he's a real film director, and he also did a Halloween film, and so he's got he knows drama. He can combine the doc. That's why it's called a docudrama, because he can combine the two mediums. It is the most fascinating, scary, real. All I got to tell you is, I loved the film. And I did Amityville 2, and I love that film too, but this film, it's the best acting I've ever done in my life.
Oh,
in that film, best acting. And I wouldn't say that unless I've just killed it. Like, we went and saw I saw the premiere, where it was really not a premiere, it was like a cast and crew screening.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With my husband and my daughter, because my son was out of town, he couldn't see it. And while the film was going on, my husband and my daughter turned to me and went, "You're really good. This is really scary."
Go.
And I'm like, but I didn't even recognize myself in the film.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
I saw the dailies and stuff, and I was, I did not, and I was just, I just love that when, when you like, it's like Sophie's Choice. Like right. you watch her and you see well, that's not you. That's right. another person.
Well, that brings so. Up that brings up another question yeah. before we. And I gotta get the better off day because my friends in New Jersey.
I'm sorry, you guys. Yeah.
No, okay. And then we might have a last trick or.
Hmm?
Are you out of tricks?
Oh, grand finale? I'm never out of tricks.
Okay,
oh,
yeah. Geez. Okay. I'm on the understanding that you auditioned for the film Amadeus.
Yes, I did. Oh, boy.
The Academy Award-winning film Amadeus.
And here's a beautiful fact. Okay, so Elizabeth Berridge, she and I auditioned for the girl who got was in Amadeus.
Right.
She and I auditioned for Amityville, and I got that. And then we both auditioned for Amadeus. It was down the two of us again, and she gets Amadeus. So it's good, you know. Everyone
she got Amadeus, and you got Amityville Horror too.
Right. Yes, I know. It's not as it's not a perfect role.
But they said because you were too pretty.
Well, that's what Elizabeth said, which was very kind of her to say that. I mean, it did come down essentially to looks. At least the director said. The way I found out was, I mean, we were flown to Prague. They were shooting the film, in.
Right.
They were in the middle of shooting, and they brought us in to take the role. Originally, the role was for Meg Tilly. Meg Tilly was originally supposed
right.
to be the part, and she broke her leg. And then we came in to replace her, and it was between we screen tested with every scene in the film, and we screen tested, and then they couldn't make up their mind again, and we did the whole thing again. And in the end, Milos turns to me, the director, and says, "Diane, I have to give the part to Elizabeth because of the look. She looks like the part." And I was like, "Okay." And just as long as she does a great job, it's like if it's your vision of the film. That does,
now,
that's all that matters.
Now, if
so,
you got that part.
I would never have done Better Off Dead. And I'll tell you something.
Ah.
I'm glad I did Better Off Dead.
There you go.
I mean, so I do think things happen. And I
right.
would never have met my husband.
But would you have been.
Never
would,
had my kids.
You would have probably gone more traumatic, maybe
yeah.
stuff with acting.
No, or? It would have been. If you go Amadeus, I mean, that is a whole, like, it's A-list. Like, it would have been a whole different world.
Right.
I really do think that, you know, it would not have. It would have made me more. You know, exclusionary, more you once you start doing that A-list thing, you
I was in Amadeus.
No, and yeah, you know, you're having to, it's a different life.
Right.
You know, and I think things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And for me now, my life has been tremendous.
Yeah, you got better off dead.
Yeah. And what a great role model that character is.
It really is.
It was just amazing.
That's another,
so.
And it's actually the first manic pixie dream girl.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, I think that character is.
It's I mean that I mean it seems like on all the movies now, there's that woman that just fixes the man and the whole thing, and that's what it was.
Right.
It's funny because you were I was watching
I never
the movie.
Thought of that way. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, because that term came out like 10 years ago. But you were the manic pixie dream girl in the '80s.
I was. See, there you go.
You could,
here's
you
another.
You could skate better than him.
Yeah,
you could do this movie
came out before Breakfast Club.
About the same time.
85. No, I think Breakfast Club came first.
And this is what I was going to ask you, too. Did you ever audition for John Hughes?
Yes, I did. And I auditioned for 16 Candles.
For Molly Ringwald's part?
Yeah, I think so, Molly Ringwald's part. Yeah. Isn't that funny? I auditioned for The Karate Kid. And it was between Elizabeth Shue and I and one other girl.
Wow.
We were in screen tests, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really, it's like
because I could see you like in the Breakfast Club or something.
Yeah, I could. Yeah.
I auditioned for, I never got Breakfast Club. I don't know. I mean, maybe they just by that
I could see you in Molly Ringwald's part, but I guess she's already juiced in with
by
John.
By then, yeah, she was with John. And, you know, like directors, they identify with people and
yeah.
that's their, so they wind up, you know, bringing them back, which is a great thing. Like
right.
it's kind of their voice. But I also auditioned, was one of the early auditions for Flashdance.
No way.
Just,
if you got that, forget about it.
I know, right? Flashdance.
And you were a dancer.
And I was a dancer and curly hair.
What a feeling.
But, yeah. but I'll tell you something, and this is part of what my book was. I had that curly hair, but the curly hair introduced ethnicity into the 80s.
Right.
There was ethnicity was not like different ethnicities wasn't happening in the 70s really. It was you would have that person in there, but they weren't a lead. They weren't
right.
like the main character. Jennifer Beale was the lead,
right.
and she had sort of an ethnic look,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, but you fell in love with her too,
yes.
like her character. So and then it's just interesting. Like so, I look at it and go that you know sometimes what's in culture. Opens up the door. Films open up the door for people to get opportunity, right. you know? And I think that's great. It's just great.
So Better Off Dead. We got to talk about it.
All right. So
all right. So people actually thought you were French.
And I'm very happy that they did because I love the French accent and I love playing someone who's French. And I remember that I was able to talk like this because I had just done a film before where I played a French girl. So when I met Mr. Savage
Steve Holland,
I walked into the audition and I talked like this. And he's like, you know, he wanted me to go for the part of Beth. I mean, one of the roles he considered.
Oh,
and I'm
okay.
like, no, I am Monique. You must let me read for Monique.
The girl breaks the guy's heart and he becomes suicidal.
Right.
It's a movie about a guy attempting suicide a few times.
Yeah.
And lucky he meets you or else he'd probably be dead now.
Right? Do you see?
I mean, that's the ultimate manic pixie dream girl.
Oh, right. It is. It is. You just, it's true. And you know what?
They're not remaking that one. I'll tell you that.
I know. Yeah. Right.
Oh, especially today with all the.
Yeah.
I know. Right. Wow.
Yeah. Him. Yeah. Some millennial now jumping off a bridge or something. Right. Yeah.
Oh, you know what they would do? No, I was just talking to somebody about this. If they did it, it would be switched. The girl would be trying to kill herself, and the guy would be the one who would help her.
Yes, they'd have some French
and
guy.
And he would be like Metro or something. Yeah. He would, you know, it wouldn't be like macho, but he would be kind
You're
of,
right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
Metro, I haven't heard that in a
Right,
time.
Right. I know, is that almost?
Well, looking at you, what would you hear? You are not Metro, Michael Vile, I will tell you that. But yeah, so Better Off Dead. Now he's doing the thing, but I want to. So Cusack was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
and
wonderful.
You guys were
Loved
flirty
him.
With each other a little bit.
I mean, he's adorable. Yeah. We had the best time. He was very shy and very sweet. He's just.
This
was
his first lead, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you
I
guys have been
so.
A TV
no,
movie.
No,
you guys have been a TV movie together.
John Cusack did Say Anything before, and so he was a lead before.
That was before Better Off Dead?
Really? I think so, yeah. I think.
But weren't you guys in a TV movie before, so you guys knew each other?
Mm-mm. No, that was the first time we worked together.
I thought I did a lot of research. I guess I did too much research.
I don't know.
Curtis Armstrong is in that. I think that guy's great.
Curtis is brilliant. Curtis is hilarious and just... that stuff with the pig and like he created all that.
The scene where they laugh at him and he starts laughing back at them is the funniest, one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I don't even know if that was in the script. I think that was just Curtis. Like, I mean, or the snorting Jell-O.
Oh, the snorting Jell-O is great.
Kids today know.
Yeah.
Why didn't he become like Steve Buscemi? He's got the talent.
I don't know. You know, he works in everything.
It's all about Tide Pods.
He works. I think he's one of the most working actor I've ever like.
Right.
His
he's always in something. Yeah.
His credits are unbelievable.
Right.
So,
you didn't do your own skiing, I'm assuming.
I skied a little bit, but not the backward skiing and all that. So, and at that time, you know, they didn't want actors to do stunts.
Right.
Or they didn't really want because it was liability. If you hurt yourself, well, look at what happened in Amadeus. Jennifer Tilly hurt herself, and Meg Tilly.
Meg Tilly.
And then you know they were stuck.
Right.
So
and not to mention Sonny Bono, but we won't go there. But I know Michael's chomping at the bit to do one final trick, but before he does, I was going to say now when Better Off Dead hit. And it was not a huge hit, but it was a pretty decent hit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you get a lot of offers? Were you really hot at the time?
Oh, no, because Better Off Dead it didn't really hit in the theaters.
Right, it was a video.
It didn't hit in the theaters, and because nobody kind of really sort of got it, so it hit in VHS with college students.
Right.
Once people were starting to rent things... Everybody told their friend, their college friend, you gotta watch this movie. It's hilarious. And so, I mean, it's interesting. Like, before the VHS generation of life, you'd get like reviewers, and they'd review a film, and basically they'd have the responsibility to say, do you watch Better Off Dead, or do you see Officer and a Gentleman, or something? You know what I mean? Or like, do you see like an upscale movie, or you have to see a comedy with these stars in it.
Oh, okay.
And so when people saw the film, they couldn't recommend you go see Better Off Dead over something that was maybe, if you have your $5, where are they going to tell you to spend your $5? Yeah, it was $5. Go see
$5
a movie.
To rent a VHS.
Right? So actually go to see a movie. Then when VHS came out, now we're talking about all these college students were like, oh my gosh, I have been studying all day. I want to have fun. Mm-hmm. I want to sit down with my girlfriend or boyfriend and I want to sing and watch something fun and happy.
I don't want to watch Amadeus. I want to watch Better Off Dead.
Seriously. So that was what happened. And they went crazy. So I think that's where all the, you know, the teen movies came. And the, I mean, just people just wanted to have fun. And so that's when that movie, it had an underground cult following.
Right.
And honestly, I am thrilled that it's still out today, that people still love it.
And every new generations. Like, do you get teenagers coming up to you, like Us, American Virgin, and
I have,
and Better Off Dead? And
I'm like, oh my goodness, what are you? And they're like, I loved you in that film. And I was like, oh my gosh, could be your mother. Stop it.
Better Off Dead, I forgot that when I watched it again, like, Porky's in it. I mean, like. And Taylor Negron makes a cameo in every single 80s teen movie, but the late great Taylor Negron.
Yeah, Taylor.
I met him once, and we had such a great chat. He was such a cool guy.
Oh, he's brilliant too.
Great guy, amazing comic.
The mailman in the movie.
Yeah, and the mailman in a lot of movies. The mailman in How I Got into College, which you were in.
Oh, you know what? I forgot that he was in it. Yes, and I was in How I Got to College. Oh, right. Okay, but I also was in One Crazy Summer.
Were you?
But I was at the end, and had to cut it out for time. Savage was like, I had to cut it out. But at the end of the film, it was supposed to be John, and I was supposed to walk in the background and wink at John. So it was supposed to be a little nod to all the Better Off Dead people, but they had to cut it for time. But somewhere, there is that footage. So I was like, Savage.
Savage
find
has it.
Yeah, they should put it in a
special.
What
is Savage Steve Holland doing these days?
I don't know. You know, I know he was directing a lot for Nickelodeon, but now I don't know.
Now that your friend's out, who knows what's going to happen there?
Yeah,
anyway, we could talk all day.
Yeah.
Where does the time go?
Totally.
Michael Vile has one last trick for
us. I am so excited. Seriously, you've been so patient.
A little bit more visual.
You've been like so patient. All right, here we go.
I love hearing about what you've accomplished and done. I might have to take these off here.
Okay. Michael Vile is going to be doing a trick now.
Okay,
this is happy 5-year anniversary.
I was like to ask, though. I mean, have you ever seen magic before what you're seeing right now?
No, I'm incredibly impressed. And to see it so close up, too, that's amazing. I mean, it's just, usually it's like far away. So that's why it's so cool.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I mean, I want to keep it simple, and a lot of people over these days seem to be very familiar with card tricks. So a lot of my friends have seen this before, but yeah, I'm going to do that trick there with the coin. It's a little bit easier to follow. It's the largest coin I could find right now. It's a dollar. Have you seen one? You go ahead and check it out.
Yes, I love these. Yes. I remember these. Does anyone remember these
anymore,
dollars?
You know?
They're so cool.
Nice. But let's see, what could I do with this?
It's a Kennedy dollar. Kennedy dollar.
No, that's a half dollar.
Oh,
but,
okay.
That's an Eisenhower.
Oh, Eisenhower. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That was a president.
That dude.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, right.
Yes. No, yeah. Right. So if I was to... Here, let me just...
And Eisenhower and Kennedy looked nothing alike.
Right.
But, yeah.
I was to take this coin right here, and it was to disappear. That's pretty amazing, right?
Wow.
You know where it is, right?
No.
It's okay. We're all adults. It's
okay.
In the other hand. I only pretended to take it. See, you're at the right angle. You totally see me pretending... To take it.
Wow.
Like that, where I pretend to take it.
But
I don't actually take it. It just looks like I take it, but I'm not really taking it. Ooh,
wow.
I'm going too fast. Oh, there's also pretending to place it. That looks fair, too, but I'm still cheating a little bit.
Wow.
I just click it. It's not that big a thing. But, you know, these days they come up with this really amazing CGI, which is kind of weird because you can totally make it kind of go away like that. Sometimes it's fairly
right.
Right. I mean, I try to use, I don't know if the camera can see the large coin there. But
beautiful.
Well, basically what I'm trying to point out here, there's a difference between a magic trick and a coin trick. Coin trick implied that the coin does a trick. Like, I know I'm stuck. Play dead. Or
right.
Sit up.
Great.
Or roll over. Oh, there's a heel. There's that one, too. Or jump or fall or play dead or roll. You get the idea. It's not a magic trick. It's just a coin trick where
the coin
actually does a trick. That's kind of the idea. But if I was actually going to do a magic trick, well, here, I want you to take the coin. I want you to place it in my hand. That way, we know I didn't pretend to.
That's
won't
right.
even
There's
look.
No shenanigans here.
I won't
right.
look. I'll turn my head. Let me know when you're ready.
I did it. It's
okay,
there.
So it's in my hand. I close my hand, snap my fingers, and it's gone. Did you see it go? The coin disappeared.
No, it's still there.
Well, yeah. I mean, don't look so close.
Okay, right.
You got to help me out a little bit here.
Okay.
Close one eye. Close two eyes.
Okay.
Snap the, well, the theory is you snap the fingers and it's supposed to be gone. Kind of like, oh, it worked.
Oh.
But that's easily explained with the ring of infinite
power
indifference.
Okay. It's
well, see, the ring, here's the point. The ring has nothing to do with this coin because the ring is still over here. I don't know if that actually So for the kids at home, I don't know if you can see it from here, and the lighting's kind of good, but I'm going to help them out
Goodness. Wow.
And it's easier to follow that. The only thing is I can't hide it because it's way too, I've heard that somewhere before.
It's weird.
See, I can't actually make this disappear.
Oh.
Or appear. It's way too big. I can't even hide it. I have to do what's called misdirection. That's where I force you to, I compel you. Force is such a strong word. The point is, while it's over there, it's no longer over there, because I actually snuck it right here in my pocket. Did you see that? See, you're at the...
Wow.
Right at
I'm still trying to look, and it's just...
I did a juggling trick. See, while you're looking over here, I shoot it to over here, and then it starts on my left. You're right. We'll have a...
You've done this...
Once or twice.
Once or twice.
And yeah, a lot of people do say it looks kind of like two when I go fast, but that's a different trick when it comes down to it.
Oh my goodness, it's amazing.
Thank you guys very much. Oh my gosh. It is such a pleasure to entertain
you're kidding.
So
awesome. It's awesome.
What an anniversary show.
Fangirling here,
Michael, you are awesome. We've got to have you on more than once every 4 years.
No doubt. I mean, that would be...
Water.
You keep that yours,
was
yeah.
That was amazing.
So I could stay here all night, but we have to end the show.
I've never been entertained so much during a podcast.
Thank you so much.
That's what we do. That's what we do here at the Dark Mark Show. It goes by. I mean, has this been the quickest podcast ever going by?
Yes.
I mean, yes. What do you want to entertain you?
The coat. Do you want to see the coat?
Yes. Hold on. Let me get the camera.
All right.
Here
we go. Yeah.
Turn the camera.
So I'm going to take this off. Yeah. But everybody.
Ooh.
Am I going to?
I would put it on the table.
Okay.
I've got the camera right on you.
So here's the deal. This is the coat. So if I go to convention, come to see me with this, and then wear the coat, all right? This is the coat. Okay, hold on. Getting it on. This is the actual coat from the film. So if you come to me, don't say here, you can put this on, and I will wear this, and we are back in the 80s. Bonjour.
And you look exactly the same.
Bonjour. But can I have my friend?
Oh, yeah.
This, my friend, maybe I bring him to me. And this, I will come back with my friend. Donc, hello. Bonjour. Bonjour. A bientôt. You are so cute. I'm going to bring you with me to conventions. Will you bring your daddy? Good, that would be nice.
It actually looks big on you now, even bigger than it was before. I know it was bigger, yeah.
Wait till you see the film. The film is...
Right, because it was supposed to be his coat, right?
It was actually mine. In the whole film, it was mine. But it looks like John's coat in Say Anything.
Right. Is it like a Inspector Clouseau-like thing, or...?
It was the... I don't know why. It was... They just considered it a French style. Yeah. I don't know. We went to... I think we even got it at Nordstrom. I'm not sure. I remember when we went shopping, and I was like, I love that coat. So I just...
And you still have it. Do you still have it?
It's... You know, I don't remember.
You stole
it? I don't know if I begged them for it.
Yeah.
I begged them. And what I think is great is now when you come to conventions, you know, people have said to me, I can't fit in that coat. I'm like, yes, you can. Yeah. And everybody fits in this coat.
Women.
And men and women can wear it, which I love. If I had like a tutu, no, we wouldn't be doing this. So
Diane, when is the next convention that you'll be at? Or you don't know?
That is a good question. So what you have to do is tell people to go to Diane Franklin 80 on Twitter.
Yes, Diane Franklin 80 on Twitter.
And then go to Diane Franklin Fans, which is the group page, and you'll see my books. Here, wait, I'll hold them. Oh, you hold it. Go to Daddy. Go to Daddy. You will see this. If you see this, that's my fan page. And
yes.
So friend me there. These are my books on Amazon. And if you friend me here, then I will let you on, and that's where you're going to find out about conventions. Because... otherwise, I don't know how you're going to find out. And also find out, if you do friend me, There, you're going to find out about Amityville Murders.
Yes.
Because I'm going to let people know sooner than they will probably.
It's the Franklin Renaissance.
Yeah.
And Diane, you are such a dream. You were so amazing.
Yeah,
it was
so
much fun.
Thank you for asking me.
Michael Vile, you were terrific. Mr.
Thank
B,
you.
How do
Once
people
again.
Get a hold of you?
Oh, through Facebook or Instagram, Vile Michael, at Vile Michael on the Instagram. You
right.
see a lot of the...
V-I-L-E, Michael
Correct.
Vile.
Yes.
Yes. And
on Facebook, it's Vile Acts of Magic.
Do you have
magic.
Any upcoming shows or regular things that you do?
I do not.
Okay. Well, we'll have
no
to book you again.
No super crazy projects or anything like that.
All right. Well, we'll have to book you again, and we'll... And you are available for booking, so Michael Vile on all social
yes.
media. Hannah?
And ask him to go out, because he's the most entertaining guy ever. Seriously.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm never telling you. I thought I was, but there you go.
I'm sorry, but this is like...
He's pretty awesome.
So cool.
Hannah?
And you can get a hold of me on Instagram at HailHannahBach666. That's B-A-K-K, not B-A-C-H.
Yes, and Goth Comedian on all social media. This has been a great anniversary show. Thank you, everybody. Mr. B, the Dove. Trevor, everybody, thank you for the last
Trevor.
5 years.
Thank you.
And
thank
have
you.
A wonderfully have a wonderfully creepy week. Thank you, Renegade Radio, and everybody out there on Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify.
And Trevor.
And Trevor.
Bye.
Wait, hold on. Let's see if my grandpa answers. I want him to see
that
the dove.
That was